From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. They're not your grandfather's string quartet, Brooklyn Rider. Their name says Brooklyn, but the sound is the world. Persian and Roma, Japanese and klezmer. They're members of Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road Ensemble and masters of Philip Glass's minimalism. But get them together on their own, and it's a sound all theirs. And as big as the planet, they might just be playing the future of classical music. This hour on Point, the string quartet Brooklyn Rider is with us. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation never ends. Do you know Brooklyn Rider? What do you hear in their sound, their philosophy, opening classical to new worlds? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Ooh, that's too good to talk over. Joining me now from New York are the four members of the string quartet Brooklyn Rider, violinists Johnny Gandelsman and Colin Jacobson, on viola, Nicholas Cords, on cello, Eric Jacobson. They've been around the world again and again, gathering sounds from all over. Their latest album, their sixth album, is out this week. It's called A Walking Fire. Brooklyn Rider, one and all, Johnny, Nick, Eric, Colin, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
Hey, wonderful to have you there. You know, I have to admit, I don't follow all this closely enough. We love to do music shows on this show, but I don't get to do them every day. We do get sent lots and lots of CDs, and I will drive along plugging them into my car, you know, sound system. And one after another, a whole lot of them go over the shoulder into the back seat, never to be heard again. I didn't know your name. I should have, I suppose. I see NPR's crazy about you guys. You've been on NPR plenty. I didn't know it. I just stuck it in, and it wasn't fancy. You just had magic marker on a blank CD, and I was captured right away. I didn't know why. I mean, what is this thing you do? I don't know who to come to, Nick or whoever. Nick, what are you up to? What are you doing here?
I don't know, but I guess it's working in your case, Tom.
It worked. It worked
in
a nanosecond.
We escaped the backseat graveyard
yes,
of CDs.
Yes, I am too.
I think Tom, you know, like a little bit of what we're trying to do, I think, is to define the string quartet as broadly as possible, and you know, and sort of use it as a place where all of our passions, our interests in the world, and in our tradition can come together. And, you know, we can put these things together on a recording or in a concert and try to make sense of some things that are seemingly disparate on the surface, but that kind of come together in our worldview.
Brooklyn Rider, it's an interesting name. There's a kind of movement suggestion in it that goes all the way back, what, a century and more to Germany in the 19, I'm not sure what, very early years of the 20th century. What's the predecessor that you're sort of taking your name or being inspired in your name from?
Well, I mean, our name does come from the Blue Rider group, you know, the Blau Rider, the group that was active in Munich around, you know, before World War I, which included the likes of Kandinsky and Arnold Schoenberg. And right there is the key to what was happening there. It was a multidisciplinary group that was really visionary in their time. And we just love that idea of a collective. And we find our world in Brooklyn, and not only in Brooklyn, but wherever we go, is a world that reflects that kind of collective attitude towards making art and culture and music in the 21st century.
We're going to
talk, as you said, movement. I mean, I think that was something that we did appreciate. And I mean, both in the sense of literal travel, we end up spending a lot of our lives on the road.
I see that.
And meeting interesting people along the way that we want to collaborate with. But I think also, at least in the Blue Rider group, they were thinking of, you know, responding to their world and moving things forward in the way they thought they could. And so that we enjoyed that idea as well.
We are so lucky to have you there with your instruments at the ready in New York. I want to be sure we get into this piece before we come up to a break here. It's from the new album, which is just wonderful to have, A Walking Fire. You're going to play something for us. Can somebody introduce this? What are we going to hear?
Sure. We're going to play a piece called Love Potion Expired, which is one of the movements from a new piece written for us by Lev Lyova-Zhurbin. The piece, the entire suite is called Kulai. And this piece was inspired by Lev's travels to Romania, specifically to a small village of Clejani, just outside of Bucharest, and his work with a legendary Romani gypsy band, Taraf de Haiduks.
Let's hear it. What a wild pleasure. That is just fantastic. Brooklyn Rider with us live from New York City with Love Potion Expired from their new album, A Walking Fire. I feel pushed. I mean, maybe you're a movement. If you are, I feel pushed. Where are you pushing us with this thing? What are you leaning into?
Well, right now it's gorgeous outside and we're so awake because we're all very jet lagged because we just got back from Asia. So it feels like concert time right now.
Okay, good.
So I think it's the best we've ever played at 11 a.m. in the morning.
Wow, that was spectacular, just spectacular. But you are moving somewhere here. I mean, what's your message to listeners? To the classical music world. What are you're imparting some energy there that I find. Really wonderful. I don't know if unique is the right word or not, but really great and forward leaning. But I don't know where you're leaning me to.
Well, I mean, this piece being on our latest album, A Walking Fire, is inspired, as all the pieces are, in a sense, by travel, whether that's in one's own head or literally. And as Johnny mentioned, our friend Lev went to the little village of Clejani outside of Bucharest, and and was inspired by this gypsy band. I mean, this is one movement of a piece that really tells the story of a life. And so I think the message with this piece is a celebration of chaos in a certain way. And for those of you who have seen a movie called Black Cat, White Cat, you will see that glorified in a beautiful way, in a very funny way. But I think the idea is that, music is fun. That's one of the things that it portrays. And we certainly have fun playing together.
We hear that loud and clear. That's a little piece of chaos I'm happy to partake of and in. Brooklyn Rider is with us live from New York. Nicholas Cords, Johnny Gandelsman, Eric Jacobson, Colin Jacobson. The new album is A Walking Fire. It is wonderfully challenging. Engrossing. You can join us this hour. Do you know Brooklyn Rider? Do you know them with Philip Glass, with Yo-Yo Ma, all on their own, out in the world? They're just back from Eugene, Oregon, and Chattanooga, and Atlanta, Hong Kong, Taipei, Macau, with us right now. I'm Tom Ashbrook. We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Join us with Brooklyn Rider. This is On Point. We're talking today with a string quartet that plays the world, the gentlemen of Brooklyn Rider, with their fabulous mix of Silk Road and Persia, Roma and Bartok, and Brooklyn's own. Do you know this group? Do you listen? Do you go for the Roma, the Persia, the Bartok, the klezmer-inspired sounds this time out on their new album, A Walking Fire? Do you go for the inspiration of Rumi here? Is this the new sound of classical, open, adventurous, out there in the world? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Nicholas Cords, Johnny Gandelsman, Eric Jacobson, Colin Jacobson, all with us live with their marvelous instruments in New York and the new album, A Walking Fire. Behind us right here, Brookleska. From their 2010 album, Passport, composed by one of the violinists, one of my guests today, Colin Jacobson. Colin, what was your inspiration here?
A mix of things, maybe like the place we live, Brooklyn.
Yes.
What you're hearing is the opening part of Brookleska, which actually started because Johnny and I were just kind of backstage messing with some gypsy licks. Gypsy-inspired licks on the fiddle, and I kind of just sat with those for a while, and they led me somewhere, and it was fun. It was kind of the first piece that I wrote for us, and so it's inspired by, I'd say, Turkish rhythms, and our friend Kehan Kalhor, who's been a big influence on me, a great Persian musician, and then just sort of all the frenetic pace of life that we encounter in our and the diversity in our hometown of Brooklyn.
Put it together, and we can hear both. Johnny Gandelsman, you guys are just back from Hong Kong, Taiwan, Macau. What kind of reception did you have there for your unique brand, your thread of classical, if we can call it that?
Oh, it was really fun to play for the audiences there. Actually, in Macau and in Taiwan, a lot of the audience was young students. And, in those cultures, almost all kids play an instrument. And, we felt an incredible amount of, appreciation and goodwill and excitement in the room, which was great. And, when you're on stage, that's something that just inspires you in the moment to feel good and to do what we do. And I think the people were really open to also what our programming. We played Beethoven Quartet, which is, mm-hmm. you know, pretty standard repertoire. But next to it, we played a piece from our last album called Seven Steps. And that was our first attempt at collaborative composition. And, you know, this is something that we're trying to explore. Is we're acting as a band now. So we have, you know, we have an in-house composer in Colin who brings a lot of new works to us, and we love playing his music. And but all of us dabble in writing or arranging, and it's kind of the thing that drives us. And what's really nice is not to make any separations between the world of Beethoven or Bartok and the creative process that happens within the group.
You know, you're all highly trained, conservatory trained. So when you say that you're meeting with young musicians in Asia, classically trained, and they're sort of leaning into this, we hear about the troubles in the world of classical music these days. And I wonder if you are a kind of breakout, if you're a band, a breakout band then, who's showing a new way here, sort of get beyond. I mean, why aren't you all in symphony orchestras? What, you know, is that not the way to go anymore? And what are you pointing to with this new way?
You know, I think everyone finds what inspires them. I think playing a Beethoven symphony is unbelievably thrilling, and playing a Beethoven quartet is unbelievably thrilling. And Colin, you know, playing your music is so much fun. And for us, you know, we've ventured into this relationship of four people getting to play music that we like together. And I think whatever form music is for anyone, whether it's, a session at a bar or and not necessarily as a profession or in a symphony orchestra, I think these are all choices we make, and we're attracted to the sounds altogether, and everyone has different preferences. We've found that traveling and playing this music and bringing music from different cultures together that somehow have a thread on a concert inspires us. So that is the reason that we choose this type of programming.
And I love yes.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to add the sense of hopefully moving forward by looking back. So the tradition we come from, you know, Mozart, Haydn, Beethoven,
yes.
all performer composers, all in their day, yes. entrepreneurs. They mm-hmm. would go out and, you know, get people to buy subscriptions to their concerts and yeah. put on their work with their friends who also all were doing the same thing.
By finding new sounds, too.
Mm-hmm. New sounds and new ways of expressing themselves. And they didn't stick to one thing, I think, at that point as much as maybe post-World War II for a while. There was a real sense of specialization. And this might be beyond music. That might be a society thing at large. But maybe because of the world we grew up in now, we have a desire to sort of bring things back together and as Nick mentioned maybe earlier, connect seemingly disparate
yeah.
ideas.
We hear both. I love how acquisitive you are, but also how integrative. Here's another piece from A Walking Fire, the brand new album just out this week. This one is three miniatures for string quartet, inspired by traditional Persian miniature painting, composed by Brooklyn Writers violinist again, Colin Jacobson. Let's listen. Calling to my heart there, and I'm sure I'm not alone with that pulse. And Brooklyn Rider, just wonderful to have them with us. Let's get our callers in. Jeannie in Hanover, New Hampshire is calling. Hi, Jeannie, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I just got back from the winter in Ojai, California, and I want you to know that you have a lot of fans out there.
Wonderful. And how about Brooklyn Rider?
What I called about was, Tom, you started talking about musicians and a new sound and all that. I just turned on the radio and I thought, oh, they have to be talking about Brooklyn Rider this morning. And absolutely, I flipped out when I heard that my boys were there. I love them. I just love them. They were in residency at Dartmouth College in the fall, and in the winter, I should say, not the fall. And I was taking an ethnomusicology class with Ted Levin at Dartmouth.
Yeah.
And they came for 5 days, and they just turned the place upside down. People of all ages were just wild about their music. I just love that they're creating a new interest in classical music. They're bringing such a new sound and a new vibration to what they're doing. And it's just great. It's just great. I was in Santa Barbara for their concert also and went to some of their master classes. And they just turned Santa Barbara upside down as well. They played in the downtown square.
Yeah, beautiful.
And people, they're just bringing a whole new energy of interest in music and a whole new energy of music itself to the public.
Jeannie, you put your finger right on it. Your boys in Brooklyn Rider. That's great. You
got Jeannie, the check's in the mail.
Yeah, check's in the mail.
Hey, Thank you. So sweet.
That is wonderful. I can see you would shake it up when you come to town. I hope you'll shake it for us right now. We've got another live piece that I think you're ready to play for us. And this was more from Colin, from your Three Miniatures for String Quartet. Tell us about this movement, Colin.
Well, this is called A Walking Fire, so that's the title of the album in general. But it comes from a Rumi poem,
yes,
the great Sufi poet in the Middle Ages. And this was written for the reopening of the Islamic art galleries at the Met Museum, which have a really long title, like the new galleries for art from a lot of places. But anyway, it's inspired by the Persian miniature painting tradition in which you can tell epic stories in a really detail-filled small frame. And actually, I found out the day before this was premiered, and I didn't have a title yet for it, that it was what they call Rumi's wedding night, the night it was going to premiere,
yes,
which in Sufi tradition is when you die or when Rumi died.
Wow.
But that wasn't seen as a sad thing. It was seen as a celebration because he was finding union with the cosmos at large.
A Walking Fire, Three Miniatures for String Quartet. Dive right in so we can get her in before the break here. We'd love to hear it. Brooklyn Rider. Thank you. That is great. That is just great. Brooklyn Rider, you break me out of sleep. You wake up my soul. There's Colin Jacobson's Three Miniatures for String Quartet. The third movement there, entitled A Walking Fire, is taken from Rumi. How fabulous. Did you play that in the Far East just now?
We did, yeah.
Did you bring him to their feet?
As Johnny said, there was a wonderful, mostly young audience full of musicians. And they did seem enthused. It was really fun. And of course, I mean, I think audiences everywhere have different sort of ways of concert etiquette. You know, it's just different in different places.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I think in Asia, often, you know, there's a sense of incredible respect and quiet in the hall before you even go out there. You're like, yeah. Is anyone out there?
Yeah.
And then you get out there, and actually, people sort of. Reserve the love for more towards the end of the concert,
yeah.
Which in a certain way we appreciate, because we do think of a concert as a whole and
yes.
And a journey. And so it's gratifying that people there seem to enjoy that journey.
That was something else. Colin, was that the sound, did you say, of Rumi stepping toward death?
You know, the idea of walking fire, of love coursing through your veins of whatever sort, is an inspiration for that piece.
I'm fully inspired right here, right now. Brooklyn Rider is with us. Listeners, you can join us today. What an incredible sound. Do you go for the inspiration of Rumi in A Waking Fire? Is this the new sound of classical, open, adventurous, out there in the world? What's your question, your shout-out for Brooklyn Rider? They're with us. Live from New York. A little, part of a traditional Romanian composition, Doina Oltalui here. We'll be right back with more Brooklyn Rider, 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with the string quartet that plays The World Behind Me, Brooklyn Rider, performing one of the classics, the first movement of String Quartet Number 2, by Hungarian composer Béla Bartók. They're with us live today, playing wonderfully, out with their wonderful new album, A Walking Fire. You can join the conversation. Do you know Brooklyn Rider? Do you go for the Roma, the Persia, the Bartók, the klezmer-inspired sound this time out? Is this the new sound of classical? And where would you like to see them roam, ride? Next, we're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Brooklyn Rider there with Bartók. How wonderful. Nicholas Cords, Johnny Gendelsman, Eric Jacobson, Colin Jacobson, all with us with their instruments in New York. And what a delight. Let's get our listeners in. So many calling. Nashville, Tennessee is on the line. Dan, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Well, I just wanted to, I'm like you, I'm just completely blown away by what I'm hearing today, and I can't imagine what it must be like being right in the studio with them. So kudos, guys. It's some incredible music.
Thanks so much. This studio is actually really fun because we're all gathered around a table, so it feels like we're all, instead of facing out to an audience, we're facing each other. So we're kind of pooling our sounds, which is actually what we sort of try to do in general.
Very cozy. That's beautiful. Hey, Dan, in Nashville, are you a musician yourself, Dan?
Yeah, actually, I play bass in the bluegrass band, and I play other styles of music as well. And being able to appreciate what they're doing from my aspect. I started with a classical teacher just to get my fundamentals together, and I didn't really go any further with that. But had I heard someone like these guys at that time, I may have gone a different direction. So just great. And please come to Nashville and let the people know where you're going to be, because people need to hear what you're doing.
Dan, you're a pro to speak. I mean, I hear such incredible precision and musicianship in here, even as they're so adventurous. They seem to have both going on at the same time. But you tell me, Dan, you're the musician.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. It's just absolutely pristine execution, which is what you'd expect from a great classical quartet. But the fire and the drive and the passion and the forward momentum that they're supplying is just, you know, that's not something that you hear very often in classical, at least to my ears. And I'm not an expert on the music, but I certainly have done my share through my education and all that. So,
Dan, I love your call from Nashville. We'll try and get them down to you. Let's hear a little bit more. This is, again, Béla Bartók, heavily influenced by traditional folk sounds in the early 1900s. At a time when many other composers were not. In this piece, the second movement of his second string quartet, he wrote between 1915 and 1917. He layers in idioms from traditional folk music he heard while traveling in Nigeria. Here it is, performed by a Brooklyn Rider for their album, A Walking Fire. Bartók with some Nigeria thrown in. Can we hear some market call there? Or what's the Nigerian element, the Nigerian thread here, guys?
There's, you know, when someone travels, when a musician travels, they pick up the things that they're looking to hear a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So if Debussy was listening at the World's Fair to hear the type of sounds that then he created for the French music, and Bartók is traveling in Nigeria, his ears are accustomed to certain things and wants to hear certain things. And I think the inspiration of traveling and hearing music is something, it's completely priceless. So whatever he's pulling out, regardless how it, if it turns out that it's exactly a folk song or a traditional song, it's this new thing that he's able to be excited about.
I wonder if
and
you're
also Tom.
Yes, please,
Tom. What I get from that too is also like this sense of a dance to the death, somehow, you know, which is a really intense experience,
yes.
Both as a listener and as a player. And I think that's what happens in the Bartók's quartet. And the only place it can go after that is to the third movement, which is a beautiful traditional Hungarian lament.
And I just wanted to add in response to Dan, the
yes.
last caller,
yes.
that speaking of Nashville, we're really, we've been very excited to work with one of Nashville's great musical residents, another Bela named Bela Fleck.
Yeah.
And he wrote a piece for banjo, standard banjo quintet, you know, banjo and string quartet.
Yeah, right.
And we've recorded that and look forward to playing it, hopefully in Nashville at some point.
That would be marvelous. Brooklyn Rider is with us from New York. Kelly is calling from Boston. Hi, Kelly. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks so much for doing this show today, and thanks for having Brooklyn Rider on. I am the administrative director of a self-conducted chamber orchestra in Boston. Their name is A Far Cry.
Okay.
And it's groups like A Far Cry and Brooklyn Rider and The Knights that are really reinventing what it means to be a classical musician in the 21st century. And they're attracting young audiences and new and fresh audiences, people who are not traditional classical music goers. And we're always so sad when we hear about orchestras that are folding or having trouble. And it's these younger musicians and this new generation that is really reinventing this genre. And I have great faith in the future of classical music.
Kelly, what's the heart of the reinvention? What do you hear them doing, A Far Cry doing, The Knights that Erica and Colin Jacobson have, of course, got up and going? This is this orchestra in New York. What's at the heart of the new thing?
Well, they're really taking ownership of the music and ownership of themselves as musicians. And so, you know, they do their own programming, and they invigorate the music with a new life and a fresh approach. And they also reach out to audiences in really intimate ways. So our audiences have the very personal relationship with the musicians and come to love classical music through these personalities. I know a lot of people who love Brooklyn Rider and who speak of them so highly, and there seems to be such a magic that comes through the music.
You put your finger on it, Kelly. It's wonderful to have you. I want to hear more and more and more if we can. Here's a little bit. It's not all exotic or extra classical. Brooklyn Rider also plays, goes to the great composers of the Western tradition. And here's from their 2010 album, Seven Steps, the fourth movement, a mournful chorale-like piece from Beethoven's String Quartet 14 in C-sharp minor. Brooklyn Rider. Just beautiful. Beethoven from Brooklyn Rider. Let me ask you guys, it's so beautiful. Even there, Kelly, I think, puts it very well. You somehow take ownership, even here when it's Beethoven. I mean, what's the, whether in the music itself or in what, all the sort of cultural iconography that's come to surround it, what's the crockery of classical music that you're ready to break, the boundaries you're ready to break, and what do you want to keep?
You know, I don't think it's about breaking or keeping. I think it's about, when you're listening to this, it doesn't matter whose recording it is. I mean, yeah, this is just some of the greatest stuff ever written. And to be able to play that and not take it for granted that we can play that is, it means so much. So, I don't think it's necessarily setting any goals to break things, but it's just deciding to embrace this music, whatever it is we're playing, Beethoven or Liova or Colin stuff. Wow.
And yet you are making this tradition your own. And I wonder if you can articulate what it means to make it your own today. What's the approach required to make it vibrant and current and utterly relevant again? What's the attitude that helps that along?
Tom, I think that the part of the attitude that can help that along is not overly to focus on doing the next thing or making a breakthrough sometime. And that's always exciting, and we have a foot firmly in our time, and we have great relationships with lots of creative people. But I think we try to take a 360-degree view of the tradition, because sometimes by exploring what is new out in the world, it actually sheds a light back on the tradition. And I think that's getting back to what Colin was talking about, you know, this sort of age where all this music is coming from, of the composer, performer, entrepreneur. That is really exciting to us, and that's part of the movement of what's happening here. So when we work, you know, with our friends, you know, whether it be Kehan Kalhor or other people out there, you know, a great bowed, you know, string player himself from a different tradition, we actually learn a lot about our tradition in the process and in the playing of Beethoven, late Beethoven, for instance.
You make us greedy. I want to play a little more here. This is, again, from Seven Steps, your 2010 album, Seven Movements in Beethoven. Brooklyn Rider composed this piece, Seven Steps. Brooklyn Rider, Seven Steps from Seven Steps. Paul in Boston, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Tom. I wondered what Brooklyn Rider's experience is with the conservatories around the country. Are you being welcomed by Oberlin, Rochester, Curtis, NEC, Boston Conservatory with your approach to music?
What do you say, guys?
Well, we just did a concert at Eastman School of Music in Rochester in January. Again, like a wonderful experience for us, because that audience was full of students there who were really enthusiastic about the show. And I think we were able to have, before and after the concert, great conversations with people who sort of also share this dream of not just playing in a string quartet, but trying to invent a life for themselves, you know, that kind of takes this tradition forward and answers the call to their musical passion. So that was a wonderful trip. And we have this experience in a lot of the schools that we visit.
It's an interesting time in one's life. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but between 18 and 22, these were some extreme years and needs in practicing, actually, to hone the skills of being so narrow, actually, in playing the cello physically, doing this athletic Olympic sport, so that one can go out and embrace other things. You know, the way, you know, to be a great soccer player, how many miles do you run a day? And so maybe the blinders that we have on during those formative years, hopefully go out to give you the ability to do other things.
But to Paul's question right there, Eric, do the conservatories welcome you, or they're worried you'll come in and get their you know, young practitioners all excited and distracted and running off to, you know, Persia?
Well, I think you know, the only experience of these conservatories that we have been with was Eastman, and it was actually an extremely warm and welcoming environment.
We have been quite a bit in university environments all over the country.
We have a
wonderful relationship with UNC Chapel Hill, we're going to University of Texas Austin next year, and numerous other places. And I think, you know, maybe there's something for us, because all of us went to conservatories, the grass is always greener, you know. We go into these university environments and people are studying so many things, and we find in those environments amazing connections to the music that we play that go way beyond the borders of music.
Let me get one more young caller, if I may, from Charleston, South Carolina. Mike is calling. Mike, you're on the air. Our time is short, Mike.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to say to the ensemble that you guys have a great opportunity to sort of get young people a little bit more interested, you know, piece by piece. You guys are doing a great job. You guys have an excellent sound.
Thank you.
Two thumbs up from Charleston. Wonderful. We're going to go
nice
out with
town, Charleston. Yeah,
wonderful town. We'll go out with one more from the new album, A Walking Fire. Briou is the name. Tell us about this track.
Well, it's actually one of Tarafti Haiduks, the Romani gypsy band that I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
It's one of their signature tunes that they play, and there are some incredible videos actually on YouTube for the listeners to check out of this tune being played on sort of a pipe. And so, you know, Lev, the composer of Kulai, arranged this piece, and it's just a wild romp.
A wild romp. One of many. They go wild, they go deep, they are beautiful. Brooklyn Rider is with us. They are, of course, out of Brooklyn. Their new album is A Walking Fire, and it is a delight in so many directions. It is hard to describe, but I hope you got the feeling for it here today. Listen, to all four of you, I know you're just back and jet-lagged and in from Macau and Hong Kong and Lord knows where. It makes us doubly grateful to you for bringing your beautiful instruments and your beautiful sensibility in with you today. It's just been a great treat. Nicholas Cords, Johnny Gandelsman, Eric Jacobson, Colin Jacobson, Brooklyn Rider, our deep, deep thanks to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. Just wonderful. Brooklyn Rider, many thanks. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.